Amen. Okay.
There has never been anything wrong in the nature of this word body of glorified flesh and bones, because it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the Lamb's wife. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. See this word body that's speaking a new language of life. Part of the Godhead, and no sin nor death comes to mind. For it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white. The Lamb's wife with the righteousness of the fullness of the faith of Christ. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. There has never been anything wrong in the nature of this word body of glorified flesh and bones, because it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the Lamb's wife. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. See this word body that's speaking a new language of life. Part of the Godhead, and no sin nor death comes to mind. For it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white. The Lamb's wife with the righteousness of the fullness of the faith of Christ. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. There has never been anything wrong in the nature of this word body of glorified flesh and bones, because it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the Lamb's wife. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. See this word body that's speaking a new language of life. part of the Godhead, and no sin nor death comes to mind. For it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, the Lamb's wife, with the righteousness of the fullness of the faith of Christ. And isn't she beautiful? Christ the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ the wife of the Lamb. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ the wife of the Lamb. It's Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Praise God. Amen. We praise you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my Lord.
All right. Praise God. Amen. That was good, Barbara. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just appreciate that good song. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's I assume that's brand new, isn't it?
I wrote it this morning.
Amen. Wrote this morning, so we got it fresh. Amen. I didn't think I'd heard that one before. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it sure sounds good.
Amen.
Sure sounds good. Well,
is everything going
then? Well, we just thank God for all the good things that He's doing for us. Amen. Too numerous to count, I believe one said. Amen. So we just thank Him, just include all of them, thank Him. And we got eternity to thank Him for. Amen. We'll have all eternity to praise God, give glory to Him. And probably that won't be enough time when there's no end to it. Amen. So that's how great He is and what He's doing for us. Amen. So I believe I'll read some scripture today. In the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. And this is a strange chapter in the sense of a word giving instructions and so on, or giving certain revelation. Amen. It doesn't do that as much as it identifies persons, men and women, part of the gospel. And especially in this chapter, Paul brings out the women, the female part of the gospel working, and it talks about the different ones. But in all the writings that he did, he sums it up here. He went different places and so on and met different people. But in most cases, where there was a man that loved the Lord, there was a woman. And he gave her the same authority, the same recognition, I guess would be a better word, as he did the man. And that's different from the apostles on the Jewish side of the spectrum. Amen. They never did come to this point because in the great plan of God, they weren't supposed to. Amen. Because there's to be something here at the end time in this year that would reflect this, reflect the importance of the woman, the wife of the Lamb, say. Amen. So the sisters here, for the first time, as it deals with Scripture, got equal recognition and equal time and and it was, they were recognized equally in the kingdom of God, see. So this year is a very strange chapter. I used to read it years ago, many years ago. And I would think, why would Paul write a letter like this and just put the names of these people and so on like that, and it doesn't necessarily give any particular instructions here as to what it would take to be pleasing and or the perfection that God has given us. But he goes over and just tell what some of the people did. And in every case, he recognized the lady as much as he did the man. And that was totally strange to the Jewish apostles that was at Jerusalem and the Jewish church. Because here he was looking at the different side. Back in those days, it was hardly ever that they would accept a woman's testimony in anything unless there's a, was a man to back it up and so on. And that was in the Jewish society. But Paul, he went to not just to the Jews, but he went to Jews and Gentiles. And it put a whole new spectrum to it, a whole new vision. And it's a lot of people today, they try to get the, take just the Jewish side of it, and they miss out. They miss a lot of the blessings of God because they don't see what Paul was saying. Paul was sent to espouse a virgin to Christ. See, Jesus Christ in marriage. Amen. And so he was careful wherever he went to bring in and let the sisters know that they had a place in the kingdom just as well as the man. And so you'll find that. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'd like to, but some of the names I can't pronounce very well. And some of the places I can't pronounce very well. But I'm going to read down a few verses here, and we'll just stop when we get down a bit. On Romans 16th chapter, we'll start verse 1. But before we do, let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you, and we come to you praising you and thanking you, and for revealing truth after truth after truth, and for bringing us into the very perfection, Lord, that you've ordained. And here we see it in the earth today, and we just thank God that he made it possible. And as the message a few weeks back went, that God had a dream. And the dream that he dreamed of was actually a plan. Amen. He weren't afraid to have a dream about how this all would work out all the way through, even before time that we know about. Amen. And, of course, starting in the book of Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Well, that beginning there is not just the beginning of the human race, but this beginning, it goes way back. Amen. In the prehistorical time and the world that was, I believe some writers quoted it. And brought it all the way through. And right here, after Pentecost, amen, it began to be that Paul was converted, sometimes 4, 5, 6 years after the day of Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. And, of course, that we look at that as being more or less the masculine part, because there weren't any great change as far as a woman's place and so on until that Paul began to preach the gospel, and he created a people, And I believe that would be like in Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. He took the both Jew and Gentile and created the people. And that means put them together, and they were all believing the same thing and so on. And here it was different in the sense that the woman was included without limitation other than the ministry. See? Amen. The ministry was, of course, God gave these gifts unto men, you know, like that. But the women, they had a place, they testified, and they were of a great help. And the thing about it is they got recognized for the great help that they were doing. And that's the thing, that's the strange part about it. Amen. When I say strange, it's not so much strange to us, but if you were living in that time period and associated strictly with the religious teaching and so on like that, then it would definitely be strange. That's why when Paul came to the temple, once there in Jerusalem, there was some there that went about to kill him. Amen. And so James pulled him aside, Acts 21 here, and you go on 22, pulled him aside and said, I'll show you what to do. Listen to what I've got to say, and I'll tell you how we'll get through this thing, get by. Because Paul, he said circumcision or uncircumcision, neither one matters. Well, that went totally contrary from the Jewish Christian. Because the Jewish Christian that started there on the day of Pentecost, they kept much of the old law in that sense, but included believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sin. But here's a message that makes no difference in Jew and Gentile. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel, the word says. That's in that chapter, the book of Acts, the Jewish apostles, but to none but the Jews only. But here's a man, he's not doing that. He's not following that rule to the Jews only. He went to the Gentiles, and he came to the Jews, and his job was totally different from what their job was, in the sense that he was sent to get a virgin, a spouse to Christ for marriage. Amen. Paul said that I may present you to one husband, and that would be 2 Corinthians 11 chapter there, beginning the first few verses. But let us read here just a bit. And I feel like this is something that is profitable due to the fact that we're here at the end time, and the wife made herself ready, and all this, that the woman should be looked at and acknowledge the part that she plays in the gospel. And this chapter here is one chapter that does it as good as any of the scripture that you'll find. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the marriage. I'm talking about how it started off here and how the recognition began to come. And that's what's happening now. The recognition beginning to be put forth that the woman does indeed have a place, and she has the right to receive revelation. And the revelation that she received, God used it to spread out among the people. Amen. And that were not necessarily the case in the religious, with the religious Jews. So it reads like this. Paul is writing, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in centers. Okay, I may not pronounce that. The church there. Amen. Now, I want you to notice, he started off by addressing Phoebe, a sister, see. Amen. Giving her recognition. And watch as we go on, he'll name others. And you might want to take and read this whole chapter especially you that are a little more educated than I am on some of these names. And I've heard different people read some of it. And one thing I know is hardly any two pronounce those names and all just exactly right, just exactly like the other. So I guess a lot of people have trouble with these names, and that's not the important thing here. It's the brothers and the sisters, how it was equally among them, and it includes something else. Amen. When God looked at this body of people that's created, that was called out, whether they male or female, they're part of the wife of the Lamb. Amen. That body of people, see. So that is not including the Jewish people that had their own religion there, that went forth like the apostles. They went everywhere preaching the gospel to none but the Jews only. And if you'll read, I believe it's the 15th chapter of the book of Acts. This is something I didn't read this morning. 15th chapter, there was some Jewish brothers came down from Judea. And they came down to Antioch. And they came down and to get Paul straightened out. Because Paul was using liberties that were not afforded to the Jewish church. Amen. And here you'll find this chapter highlights that somewhat. How he extended liberty to the sisters as well as the brothers. Amen. So next verse says, still talking about this Phoebe here, that ye receive her as, receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she has been a succor of many and of myself also. Paul's saying that she's been a great helper. She's been someone that she is secure, means help them out and do whatever she could do. And he says, I want you to assist her in whatever she needs. Now, that would not be uncommon request if Phoebe was a man. Amen. Assist him in whatever he needs and so on like that. But here, Paul takes a step forward, and he brings it in, and thank God, God laid it in the scripture here, that we could see how that God places the members of the body, amen, and make them neither male nor female, because the whole body, amen, is the wife of the Lamb, see. Amen. So that's where the marriage takes place. Amen. So I want you to notice that very careful here, because it's good. Now, here, as we go on down a bit further, I want to read verse 3. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that he used Priscilla first and then Aquila, which would be something that probably wouldn't be spoken of in that manner to speaking to the other side. But God wants this recognition to be out. Amen. He wants the wife of the Lamb to know, amen, that there's many of the barriers that separate man and woman in the sense of what they could do are broken down. Amen. And the woman, in other words, it's legal, we'll say, and it's right to recognize that God used certain women, amen, to push this gospel forward. And as you go on down through the chapter, here you'll find out that many were great helpers. And you'll wonder why this chapter now was placed in the Bible. It's very important. And like I said, years ago I would read this and I would say, look, like that right there is just kind of wasting space to write about Priscilla and Aquila and write about this and write about that. But there's a message that God was getting over, amen, and it took a while for it to take roots, we would say, amen. And it said, I was reading some history on Paul the other day, and it says Christianity would die on the vine had it not been for Paul, who went forth and did all these things. Of course, we know that it wasn't so much Paul, it was Christ Jesus, amen, the one that preached it on. It was God who ordained it. And that goes along with the message I preach about God dared to dream a dream, and he brings it to pass, see. Amen. So here we see something beginning, a plant beginning to come forth, and it has grown. And in this day, glory to God, all the walls are broken down, the middle wall of partition between Jew, Gentile, man and woman, in the sense, I'm talking about this particular group now, not everybody, but among this group that was to be the wife, see, amen, that now has become the wife. And I want to bring that in so that it won't be left hanging that they were to become. But they were to become here, and now here where we're at has become the wife of the Lamb. And I praise God for it. I praise God for every member of the wife of the Lamb, and how that everything is working real good here. All right, let me have some more of this water. Amen. Now notice that verse 3, do I like that? Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now we find these here heard Paul, they actually heard Paul preach, and they were so convinced, and they went to Apollos. And Apollos, he believed. And once they sat there and heard Paul, and we'll say, listen carefully, and the Holy Spirit anointing them. And it was Priscilla and Aquila. They talked to them. And we could go into the story on it. I don't want to get there too much here, but that would miss the point that I want to highlight. Amen. From time to time, we'll take certain points in the Word of God, and we'll highlight them. And it don't mean that we're leaving anything else out, but it just means in this particular message, we're highlighting a certain subject. So here, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life. Now I want you to watch. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentile. Amen. In other words, I don't know what they did here, and we don't have all, but evidently they did something here, and maybe not been just one thing, maybe several things. Amen. They put themselves out for Paul's sake. Amen. Not only for Paul's sake, for some of the other things. In other words, they stood boldly and said certain things. Amen, that was definitely contrary to the trend of religion of that day, because he's getting a virgin here, amen, ready to be married, and which took place at the end time here. And it all started back here. But these here, Priscilla and Aquila, now, I can imagine after hearing Paul, they saw like Paul and Apollos. Apollos was someone that was very learned in Scripture. And no doubt they noticed him in the service. Amen. That man there is really listening. And they noticed, I guess, that he looked puzzled sometimes because he's never heard it on this manner. And it's said many times that we've never heard it on this manner. But they, no doubt, invited him in because they took him aside. And they might have said, come over to the house. And after service, we meet him and say, come over to our house and have some tea and whatever. We'd like to talk to you more about this. And they did that once they heard Paul preach. They had it themselves, and they could pass it on to him. And Apollos become one of the great ones of the New Testament that preached Paul, Apollos, you know. And they worked together, and a great, great team there. Amen. And it started because Priscilla and Aquila, when they saw the Spirit of God moving upon, took them aside and said, you know what? Paul was struck down by a great lie. And he went down in Arabia and he stayed 3 years there. And God revealed to him, amen, that he was going to take out the heathen or the nation of people, not just the Jews, amen, Jew or Gentile, but take out the people to become the wife of the Lamb, see. And when they got through talking to him, he was convinced. Praise God. So that's how this brought it all the way up through. And now the gospel, of course, got basically lost through the ages. And of course there were 7 of those church ages. And it got lost, but God sent and restored it back. And that's where we pick it up in this hour. And now we see that neither Jew nor Gentile, we want to highlight that. Because a lot of people think the Jews are not going to accept it. Because they as a religion has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Messiah. They're still waiting for the Messiah, waiting for their king. Amen. But there's a group that, just like here in the days of Paul, there was a group that was separate in their mission, but they believed in Jesus Christ. The Jews at Pentecost and all, they believed that in Jesus Christ. But they said concerning his coming that the heaven must retain him until the times of the millennia, times of restitution. And then he'll come back and he'll start clean the earth up, and then he'll rule there for that 1,000 years as the great king. But and as they taught this, glory to God, there they began to preach like this and began to show forth. There was many of the Jews that believed. Amen. But the real belief for them and the real conversion of them will be when the Lord Jesus Christ really come back. I'm talking about as a nation, when they place them in the nation. And that, of course, that's that woman of Revelation chapter 12, that 11 or 12, where she flees into the wilderness where there's a place prepared. Amen. And they'll feed her and keep her safe until the beast has had its thing. Then that's when the devil will be bound, amen, cast in the bottomless pit, not in the lake of fire this time, but in the bottomless pit. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as king and as our husband and as our Lord, amen, takes his throne, glory to God, and there's his wife by his side. Now, these are some of the things that weren't known by the early church because it weren't time for it. But God was working, getting a people ready. And that's why he's been doing to us, working, getting us ready, making these things known. And now, praise God, we are able, we'll say stand on their own 2 feet and go forth and proclaim the things that God's ordained. And don't reject too quickly if a woman gets something that you hadn't heard before. Amen. And that was one of the things that came along with the message that Paul brought. Amen. The woman could have a right not to get behind the pulpit as being a pastor or something. We don't see that in the scripture, but we do see them talking Priscilla and Aquila. And this year, Phoebe was one of the great helps. She helped many, and even Paul helped him. And then on down here, it talks about another one that was in Christ before Paul and helped Paul. Amen. So that's the thing that this year thing is doing in this hour. Glory to God. It's something that it has come time for God to elevate and recognize and give recognition to the sisters that called into this message, amen, to give a testimony that is legitimate and that's right, see. Amen. So those are some of the things I believe that God's doing in this time period. But I want to go back to the roots of it here and let you see these are some of the things that I myself as a minister for 60-something years. I'm 85 now. Amen. And many, many years ago that we didn't see so much. Amen. A woman wasn't recognized too much. But as the restoration come, amen, back to the full word. Now I'm talking here in the realm of the espousal. Glory to God. And now, all that, God's got all that smooth there, and there's recognition. And now God comes with a message to create, creating a message now of glorified flesh and bones. See? That's the wife of the Lamb. When the marriage takes place, she is married to the King. She's married to the Lord. Amen. She's married, and that's her husband. Glory to God. And he, after his resurrection, came forth from the grave. There he had glorified flesh and bone, see. That's when he could appear in a room or disappear without going through the door and so on. Amen. And when we see that, glory to God, that's the wife, see. That's the fullness of marriage. And that's why we rejoice in the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why it's separating from the religion as a whole. Those that believe in many of these things, that's just a little too rich for them. Glory to God, but not to them that have a revelation. Amen. Now that word revelation is a word that's used quite a bit by especially one apostle. And it weren't restricted to any of the other. But Paul used the word revelation. And when he went up to Jerusalem to see some of the Jews and talk to him, let them know what was going on, amen, he went up by revelation. And when you go up by revelation, go do something by revelation, amen, that's the Lord telling you. And if a revelation, you don't doubt. Amen. It's something, you've got a revelation, and it wasn't necessarily wrote down anywhere. And that's in the days of Paul, that's something that we I've been bringing in a good bit. In the days of Paul, when he started out, most of the things that he preached, amen, at least many of them, it weren't something that he read from the Bible, which the Bible then consisted of the Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't even been written then. But he would just get up and start preaching the word, and yes, he would refer back to certain scriptures of the Old Testament that would indicate that this was what God was doing. Amen. So I tell you, it's a time of rejoicing as God has made us part of Him, made us part of the Godhead. Therefore, when He made us part of the Godhead, He made us part of the knowledge of God. Amen. And the knowledge of God that has to do with the wife of the Lamb, not the knowledge of God of how He created the planets or how He created the moon or how He created the earth or something like that. Even though Hebrews there says we understand that by the word the worlds were framed. He spoke the word. Now how did God take something He created from naught. Amen. He created the earth. Amen. It's a solid rock. There's we got a public TV station down in Atlanta, and they got some real good pictures of the parks and so on, videos and so on. Amen. And it shows these mountains and the valleys, and it just takes your breath away when you see them. Well, that weren't there. The earth weren't here. He created the world. How did He do? By the word of God. And that's when I begin to preach today about being created by the word, creative word. People, they want to draw back a little bit. But see, that's exactly what Paul did. Created from two people, broke down the middle wall of partition, and took two people and created a certain people that was the virgin, the spouse to Christ. See? Amen. And so we see these things, how all this unfold, and then God made us part of the whole. Amen. Of the knowledge here. We know about the prehistorical time when they had dinosaurs and all those things. Yes. And we know that because we're part of God. We're part of the knowledge of God. Amen. And then we can look out past the tribulation and see the millennium. And then at the millennium, we can look at that and see on through. And all of that is knowledge that's in God that He allowed, that He gave to His family. Glory to God. These certain knowledge that we can feel we're part of God. And we can feel now that God's not so far away. Amen. Not so unknown. And that was one of the things Jesus did when He was here. Glory to God. Brought God close and personal. Amen. The God that created all the stars, the universe, and all that. Amen. And it's just a miracle beyond miracle that He has made us part of those things, part of the creation. Amen. So those are the things. He included us in His dream, and there's a special part. Amen. And we'll be coming out with some writings on this, a book in the no doubt the very near future. Amen. Where there's a part for the wife of the Lamb. And there's a part, she has a part that is beyond what many other people know. Now, there's one brother who came to church here a good bit. I believe he's already passed away now, several years ago. But I would preach like on the millennia or something like that, or tribulation, or the 70 week of Daniel, or some of the things that God has enlightened us and let us know about. And about the wife of the Lamb, and on down, it follows the same trend of the message we're preaching today, because there's not been any major changes in the message, but there's been something that has taken place. Glory to God that we have more knowledge. But the brother came to me one day. He said, "I like to hear you preach, Ben," and said, "I like the way you do things." He said, "But, you know, you talk about a time that'll be called the millennium. And you talk about tribulation. And you talk about going on into eternity afterward here on earth. He said, those are interesting things you're saying. He said, but you know what? I just know I'm saved, and that's about all I want. That's about all I care to know. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, and I'm saved. And whether there's a millennia or not, that's good if there is. Or whether there's not one. And whether there's a eternal time on earth, and the earth will be set up right and made perfect. Said, for all those things. Said, those are good things to hear. But said, the only thing I'm concerned about is that I'm saved. And of course, he belonged to a church that didn't go no further than salvation much. But he came to church here, and those are some of the things, his thoughts. But he said, I sure love to hear you preaching. And said, you say some very interesting things. And like that. And so we got over here. I was having trouble with the lawnmower, getting it ready to, it'd run a while and quit and so on. But he came over, and that's when he was talking to me about this. And we stand at the edge of the porch talking, working there. And my wife didn't realize we were there. But she had a pan of water or a glass of water or something. And she poured it out on him. Amen. While he was trying to work on it, because our porch is the second story of our place. That was just a little comical put in here. But he said, oh, what's going on around here? So that, I thought my wife, she talked about that for a good while, that she didn't know it, but she poured the water over the fence and poured it on. Amen. So that was a little something went in there. He ought to remember what was talking about just by that, and could have. So these are the things we're Christians up here, and that's why we're stable. That's why we're not trouble on every hand, because we see these things, we know these things, and they're all so true, and it puts us right in there as being part of God, and the love of God passes all understanding. Amen. And the love of God that was in Christ Jesus, said no man love like lay down his life for his friend. Amen. That's the love of God. Well, see, we get that personal love of God, that personal feelings of God, and not thinking of God as someone that don't have a mind that thinks. He thinks like we do. Amen. In many ways, and we think like he does, because he's God and he's made us part of him. We're part of him just like the Son's part of him. We were all with him back there before the foundation of the world. And before the foundation of the world, in the mind of God, there was a wedding that took place. There was a marriage that took place. Amen. But it all started with a little lady there in Jerusalem there, of Bethlehem. Amen. Where there's a virgin named Mary, heard the word. And the angel of the Lord came, Gabriel. I like that, Gabriel. Amen. There's these angels, all of them. We'll begin to get a little more acquainted with their positions and so on. There's Michael and Gabriel. And then there's the Mighty One, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in angelical form. That's what came down on the... there in Revelation chapter 10. We got a kindred feeling towards all these things that God is doing. Amen. Not such a way that we can think of God, wonder what God is, wonder who God is. And therefore many religions, besides the Christian religion, they look at God in many different ways and they call him differently. I was over in Africa in one country there, and I believe they call God Ooh. Ooh, something like that. They didn't have a word, I guess, English word to for it, but that was what they were looking at God. But see, God is so personal to us. Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus could go to the Father. Amen. And anytime he wanted to. If he had a need, he'd go to the Father because there was that kindred. Well, we're added to that by marriage. And the other folks, they're added to that by conversion. Amen. Like there on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the word, they said, "What must we do?" And he said, "Repent." And so on like that. And there was about 3,000, I believe, that was there. Now, see, they got a knowledge of God, but that was not this part that weren't the wife. It was just the people that had a knowledge of God and part of God. And now I praise God. Glory to God. And I praise him that he gave us this nation here to a place to live, a place to grow, a place that we could come forward and just not be someone that didn't know who God was or what God was. No, Jesus Christ, he came to show us the Father. Amen. They said, "Show us the Father." Amen. Jesus said this. And it stumbled a lot of them, but not the real seed of God. It says, "Have I been so long with you and you don't know me? He that have seen me have seen the Father." In other words, I'm not so different. My thinking ain't so different than the Father's thinking. Amen. So from that standpoint, we see how all this come into being, and it's a great settling to this. Amen. A great, you don't have to try to figure this out, figure that out. Amen. You just know you're part of God's family, and he loves you. Amen. And you want to understand more about God? Well, Jesus Christ came to give us understanding. Amen. And the Holy Ghost revealed to us many of these things. And that's God's way of putting the Spirit in. But now there's the feminine part. And I'm bringing this in closing out here just a bit here. I want to remind you again, read that 16th chapter of the book of Romans here, and you'll just be amazed. Yeah, and see, yeah, we got this year, and there's another we've been bringing in too, what we're writing here in the end time. Amen. We wrote about these things and how God's moving, and it's so great. Amen. And it reveals one thing that I wanted to highlight in this message here today, along with the woman part. But it's the feminine part of Christ that was totally unknown up till about a few years back. Amen. Totally unknown. Amen. That's the feminine part of Christ. Amen. It shows that we are furnishing, and my wife got this revelation before I did, and I praise God that I'm a man that if someone get more revelation or something, then I'll soak it up, and I'll certainly listen and take it in. Glory to God. And after a while, we'll learn to trust and so on, and see what the end of it is. And there's so many great things. Amen. But anyway, there's some writings coming up. We already got much writing, several big books, but there's some coming up that's going to identify maybe a special spot for the wife of the Lamb, say. Amen. It shows a feminine part, and that's what we are. We are married to him, and now here we are, just as happy as can be. And I'll say this, if someone can't be happy married to the Lord, then I don't know. Amen. We're married to him. He's our husband. He's our king. Amen. He's our Savior. He's our all in all. Glory to God. Well, That just reaches in and get what God is. Amen. What God is. God even called before the Gentiles came in. He even called Israel his wife. That's in the book of Hosea. And rebuked her for going astray and so on. Amen. But here we are knowing God. Amen. And that's so great to know God. Amen. And when we say knowing God, I don't mean we know every little details, because even in that eternal age, no doubt, eternal time, that there'll be new things we'll learn about God. And as we learn about God, we learn about ourselves. Amen. And it gives a study on the Lord Jesus Christ, his life. It gives it a new perspective. We're looking to the Father, how he prayed to the Father, and how the Father instructed him. How he said, I do nothing except the Father shows me. In other words, the thought that he got, the instruction he got, the revelation he got, was from the Father. Glory to God. Amen. So he did that. And now we're made part of him, bone of his bone, and flesh of his flesh. And we can add there, bone of his glorified bone, and flesh of his glorified flesh. And that's why we're so happy. We're rejoicing. We're so contented. Amen. And we're not worried what if this church do that or that church do this or something of that nature. Amen. Whatever they do, let them do. They can only do what they can do. Amen. But while all the calamity, all that going on in religion, I can't say that word. All that's going on, there's a why. Amen. She holds her shoulders up, head high. Amen. And she's rejoicing in the Lord. And she's appreciating all these things. And she sure loves Jesus, her husband. Amen. That love that flows right on to the Father. She's glad to be part of the family, but not just part of the family in the sense of a member. She's the wife of God's only begotten Son. Amen. And that's where we're at today. Amen. I love him with all my heart. I appreciate him. And I hope this little lesson today has been a blessing to us. And I just wanted to bring in here about some of the sisters, how he didn't leave out the brethren, but on this particular chapter, he was highlighting here some of the things the sisters. He brought in Priscilla before Aquila. He highlighted, these are my helpers. If they need something, supply. Amen. And they laid down their life. I like that where it said that he laid down, Priscilla and Aquila, laid down their own neck for me. Amen. Now that is really something. Glory to God. And so that's today. That just shows the love, amen, that God has for his children, and the love that he put within, that same love in the wife of the Lamb. Amen. All right, so let's just pray, and we'll close out. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we just love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you, Lord, for this word. And thank you, Lord, and may, Lord, as it goes forth, that the people will look and say, I didn't know that, or I realized that we are part of God, that we're part of the Son, that we're part of the plan, and we have that special part. And I just appreciate, Lord, that you made us what we are, and you didn't do it because we were a better group than someone else or something of that nature, but it's your choosing that you chose before the foundation of the world. And we just thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. We praise your name, Lord. We praise your name. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
Okay, you want to take that just for
amen.
A second?
Amen. Barbara's going to sing one possibly. Amen. We thank God.
Yeah, Ben bringing up there Romans chapter 16. Well, we wrote a furtherance of that.
Yeah.
In actually, he preached the message, it's called the timely message that is showing forth a perfect balance between the masculine and feminine attributes or part the masculine and feminine parts of Christ. So that's actually a furtherance of Romans chapter 16, and we just put that in a book, but it's not on the net yet. It's a chapter that's going to be in this new book. But if you read Romans chapter 16, you might want to go back and hear the audio on that message. It's called A Timely Message That Is Showing Forth a Perfect Balance Between the Masculine and Feminine Parts of Christ. And it's actually showing the high calling and what Paul called the high calling, but actually it's the fullness of Christ, which is the wife of the Lamb. And so I just kind of wanted to bring that in. Because that is a furtherance of Romans chapter 16, because the wife actually is the one that has the perfect balance between the male and female. Amen. There has never been anything wrong in the nature of this word, body of glorified flesh and bones. Because it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the Lamb's wife. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. See this word body that's speaking a new language of life, part of the Godhead, and no sin nor death comes to mind. For it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, the Lamb's wife, with the righteousness of the fullness of the faith of Christ. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. There has never been anything wrong in the nature of this word body of glorified flesh and bones, because it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the Lamb's wife. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. See this word body that's speaking a new language of life, part of the Godhead, and no sin nor death comes to mind. For it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, the Lamb's wife, with the righteousness of the fullness of the faith of Christ. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. It's Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. There has never been anything wrong in the nature of this word body of glorified flesh and bones,
because it's a garment of fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the Lamb's wife. And isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. It's Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Christ, the wife of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Amen. That's very good. Praise the Lord. Amen.